The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
What I want to talk to you about today is just that idea of if. Of what if. And I think there are lots of ifs and if people in the Bible. And it's such a small word, but its significance is not small. I don't know if you've been in this boat or not, but anytime somebody follows a comment or a statement up with if, there's some conditions that come with it, and those conditions most of the time are pretty important. I remember when I asked Kelsey's dad to marry me. No, sorry. I asked Kelsey's dad if she could marry me. There it is. He said, well, yes, if. And I was like, oh, that if's a big deal. We got to kind of get that figured out. And it's just two little letters, but there's a lot that comes in those two little letters a lot of times. And this morning, I want to just kind of run through, I think there are three different types of people in Scripture specifically, but I want to look at them and I want to ask where you fit in that process. And I think the first type of people we come across is what if people, and I think we're all what if people. What if people, if you don't believe me, I think we were created to be what if people. If you have your scriptures, you can look there in Matthew. That's where we're going to go in a second. But just to lay the foundation of this, from the beginning of creation, really, and you go all the way back to Genesis, we were tasked with what if. If you read in Genesis chapter 2, verse 19 and 20, it says this, "Now the Lord God formed man out of the ground, and all the wild animals, all the birds of the sky, he brought them to man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals." Is it just, my wife tells me I'm super imaginative at times, and so I have to kind of step back, but can you imagine being Adam and a deer walking in front of you? And you would be like, oh. Deer. And that was its name. Or even a zebra. Or a duck-billed platypus. Can you just Nora's five. And I love hearing the names of her animals. Because she had a fish for the longest time. It was red-blue. Because the fish was red and blue. We've got a duck in our house, a stuffed duck. It's Mr. Quackers. Because it's a duck. But can you imagine just the mindset that came with asking, well, what animal is this? I'm going to name it, an elephant. I would have called an elephant Gigantor. That would have been my name for an elephant. But from the beginning, we're seeing where God introduces in creation, in the humanity, the desire to ask, well, what if? What could that be? If you don't believe me there, go to Genesis chapter 4, and this is one of the craziest stories ever. Genesis chapter 4, verses 20 through 22. Adad gave birth to Jabal. He was the father of those who lived in tents and raised livestock. His brother Jubal was the father of all who played stringed instruments and pipes. Zillah also had a son, Tubal-Cain, who forged all kinds of tools out of bronze, iron. Tubal-Cain's sister was Naamah. Guys, maybe I can talk to God. How do you think this happened? How do you think somebody figured out that you could pull a string real tight and when you hit it, it made a good noise? I got a feeling it was a bunch of guys sitting around a campfire and somebody said, hey, watch this. And all of a sudden, it happened. Or how do you figure out that if you raise animals and you keep them in pens and in livestock like that, it's a lot more beneficial? Because somebody was sitting around and they asked the question, what if? What if, I know that's why what we've been doing, but what if we did this? Barbecue. Who decided that if you throw a pig into a fire and slather all kinds of sauce on it, it is delicious? How did that come up? Who was just sitting around and that pig over there? I could do something with that pig. If you give me that pig and some of this brown sugar, I think I could mix something together and we could have a good day. It's because we are created with this desire, this mentality to ask, what if? What could be possible? But like most of us, sin distorts that, doesn't it? When Adam started, he had those questions of what could this animal be called? What could happen? What if? His great, I guess, grandsons ask, what happens if you play a stringed instrument? What happens if I take this metal and I heat it up and then I shape something out of it? But the further away you get, the further you see that a lot of us stop asking what if. Because usually what if is followed by this, the worst possible outcome. Right? We hear the word what if and it automatically our mind starts to think of the negatives or what could be wrong or all that could go bad, how we've been hurt in the past, the mistakes that have been made before. And so what if isn't a positive thing. It's usually the worst case scenario. But I think that in faith, anyways, our what if is really what God wants us to ask. This is one of my favorite stories in all of Scripture, and this is the story of Matthew, or in Matthew, that's on the screens there. I was going to say, Eugene told you I grew up in Florida. I'm a Florida boy through and through. I was born on the west coast of Florida, and then I spent most of my high school life on the east coast of Florida, and one thing that I love to do is surf. I love surfing. I don't know why. It was something that I grew up doing in high school, and to me, this is the first surfer to ever live in this story in Scripture. We'll jump there. It's in Matthew chapter 14. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. After he dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. The boat was already considerable distance from land. It was being buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter said to him, "Lord, if it is you, tell me to come out to you on the water." "Come," he said. So Peter got out of the boat and walked in the water and came toward Jesus. When he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, save me." Peter was the first surfer, if you didn't catch that. He kind of walked on water. When you think about this story, though, there's so many things that strike me as odd. They never got nervous or scared because of the storm. If you read back through that passage, the storm isn't what scared them. They expected the storm. It was normal. Most of these guys were fishermen. They'd experienced storms. But when the normal happens, there's no need to ask, what if? See, it wasn't until something unexpected happened that Peter dared to ask, what if? For us, a lot of times we go through life, and as long as the storm is something that we can conceive, as long as the storm is something that we can understand, as long as the storm is ordinary, we never dare to ask, what if? We never dare to see what God could be doing in the midst of that. I always liked Peter because Peter was the only one who got to experience this. I know the students are all up there, but like, any of y'all up there ever tried to walk on water? It doesn't work, does it? Anybody been tubing and like all of a sudden they slung you really, really hard on the tube and you thought maybe for a second you could do it? It doesn't go well. Usually you end up face planting and hurting yourself. But Peter is the only person outside of Jesus that's ever been able to do this. And I think it's because Peter was daring enough, was bold enough to ask, what if? Yeah, there's a storm, that's normal for us. That guy's walking on water, that's not normal. All the times I've been out here on this lake, I've never seen that. There's got to be something remarkable about this man, Jesus. If he can do that, but if he can do that, what can I do? If it's you, tell me to come. And I always, like, I have an overactive imagination, so y'all just bear with me. But I can just picture Peter, and he's on the side of the boat, and he's like, yeah, if it's you, Jesus, guys, I got this. Tell me to come to you. And Jesus is coming. Peter goes, wait, time out. What? I didn't mean that. Like, come? Jesus says, yeah, come on. And I can see Peter looking down at the water and looking at Jesus and grabbing a hold of the side of the boat and kind of taking that foot over. Man, that's a step right there, right? I mean, but then he's got to take that other foot. And at that point, that's when life changes, because now there is nothing holding him up but simply his faith. Peter was the kind of person who had the boldness, the daringness to ask, what if? Another example of that is in Mark chapter 5, verses 25 through 34. A woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I could just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she had been freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out of him. He turned to the crowd and he asked, who touched my clothes? You see the crowd of people around you, the disciples answered, and yet you ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. The woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet with fear and told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. I love that story too. Because, man, what a picture is that of what if faith? She suffered at the hands of many physicians. She'd exhausted her resources trying to be healed, and nothing worked. Same results every time. See, the storm in her life was a little different. It wasn't a storm that was wind and waves, but it was a storm that she was all too familiar with. A storm she'd battled with for 12 years. A storm that she tried everything she could to conceive a way to fix it, and it just never worked. And then she hears about this guy, Jesus. She says, what if what they say about him is true? I don't know if you can read between the lines what goes on here, but in doing this, she risked her life. See, she was unclean because of her issue with blood. And so for her to touch a religious man, to touch a religious person, to touch someone who was clean, could have put her in a situation where she had now contaminated him, and therefore she could be stoned because of what she had done. This woman knew that in doing this, this was risking everything, but she was willing to risk everything because she believed. What if everything they say about this guy is true? What if everything I've been going through for 12 years could end if I could just touch his garment? He doesn't even have to know it's me. If I could just get close enough, everything I believe, everything that I've heard about him could be true, and I could be healed. Can you relate? Are you a what if person who sees the divine opportunity in the ordinary and sometimes unexpected storms of life? See, I think a lot of us, or I'll be honest with you, listen, you guys, if you don't like me, you guys have been lovely. I've enjoyed our time together. And that's all right. I've got to tell you what I've got to tell you. Me, I'm good with what if, if I understand the storm? If it's familiar, if I've experienced it before, if it's something that hey, listen, God, I've been down this road, learned that lesson before, thanks, I'm good. But when God introduces an unexpected element into it, that's when I start to stop to lose that what if faith, and I start to say, hey, God, I need facts. If you can just give me a list of facts, I'm good. But all these people don't worry about the facts. They don't worry about the unfamiliarity of the storm. Instead, when something unfamiliar, uncommon happens, they start to see the divine opportunity that's before them. The fact that in the midst of this storm, in the midst of this unlikely circumstances, God could do something amazing. God could do something far beyond what I could ever think or imagine or conceive. God could make something great out of this. What if people see the storm, they see the unexpected, but they dare to step out of the boat into the unknown? You guys had not bulletins, sheets today. You can take out your sheet. You can either draw a picture of your husband or your wife if you get really bored with me. That's cool. If not, you can write some stuff down in the back. This morning, I want to dare you to be what if people. Actually, what I want to do is I want you to dare to think, what if? What if the storm that you're facing right now is unexpected? You thought you had it figured out, but then something comes and it changes just ever so slightly, and now it's no longer the storm I thought it was. It's something a little bit different. Dare to have the faith to ask God, what if in the midst of this, you're doing something remarkable? So I think there are what if people. I also think there are even if people. If you look in your scriptures, and when you get home, you can again write these down, whatever you want to do with them, or just draw funny pictures of somebody next to you. Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, it says this: Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king Nebuchadnezzar, "We do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand." I love this next verse. "But even if he doesn't, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve the gods or worship the images of gold that you've set up." I wish there were more examples that I could give you in scripture of even if people. I think Paul gets there closely in Acts 20:24. He says, "My life is worth nothing but for the gospel's sake." I think that's kind of an even if mentality. I think that you could go with Peter or Abraham, or you could go with different people that have this even if faith. But man, these guys get it. Even if people, they see the opportunity, they see the storm, they see the unexpected, they have the faith to ask the question of God, what if? What if in the midst of your all that you're doing, there's something remarkable in this? But they also have resolve. They have resolve to say, God, even if you don't do what I think you need to do, God, even if you don't work things out the way I want you to work them out, you're still God. I still trust you. I still love you, and you're still good. When you look at these three men, you got to understand they knew they were going to experience some difficulties. If you read over in Daniel chapter 1, they were the three men who Daniel elected them to a special diet and stuff like that. And so already they're in a foreign land, they're serving a foreign king, and they're already being put outside of their comfort zone. So there had to be some expectation of, hey, listen, you know what? Like, things are going to be different for us. There's going to be a storm. We're going to face some difficult times. Then all of a sudden the king comes in and he says, hey, listen, not just you're going to serve me, you're going to actually worship me. And there's that unexpected moment where, hey, this isn't quite the storm we were thinking it was going to be. We thought that it was going to be, we had to serve you. You're throwing a kind of wrench in this. And then the king says, hey, listen, not only you have to worship me, if you don't, I'm going to throw you in a furnace. These guys look past what if, and they go to that moment of saying, hey, listen, you know what? Even if. We know God can save us. We know God's capable of doing that. But even if he doesn't, it doesn't change a thing about our faith. It doesn't change a thing about us at all. I told you, I hope that you dare to ask what if. I also hope that you have the resolve to believe even if. I know Eugene got to share a little bit of my story with y'all, and for time's sake, I'm not going to share a lot more, but there was a moment in my life, I'd left my first church that I ever worked in, and I was in between churches. I was actually doing maintenance ministry at a church where I was cleaning the church when everybody was out of the church, and I had this moment with me and God, and actually it was me, God, and my 110-pound bull mastiff dog, Murphy, was laying in bed with me. And I remember laying in bed, and I had to ask this question of God. God, am I ever going to be in ministry again? Everything I thought I'd given my life to, I'd surrendered to, everything I thought I'd worked towards was gone. And I was like, I don't know if I'm ever going to do this again. And God asked me this real simple question. He said, John, if you never get to spend another day working in ministry again, will you still love me? I had a plan. I knew the storms in ministry. My dad was a pastor. I grew up watching storms in ministry. I knew that. I was prepared for that. You're kind of throwing something different in here. God, you're not working the way I want you to. So yeah, but even if I don't, you still love me. You still serve me. You still trust me. And I remember laying in bed, and it seems so stupid, but I remember thinking at that moment as I lay there in bed, God, if I never do, if I never experience another day working in ministry, I still trust you. I still love you. You're still good. This morning, I wonder if even if people exist in this room. See, I think this is the faith we kind of all aspire to get to. But it becomes tough. Because we want God to do what we want him to do. And when he doesn't do what we want him to do, even if faith has to take over, our job becomes clear when even if faith is introduced. It's not to figure out the storm or the fire, but simply to glorify God in whatever happens to us. The last type of people that are, I think we come across this morning would be if only people. And there's several stories on the screens that you guys can see there. The first one I'm just going to recap for you is Luke chapter 16. 19 through 31, it's the story of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man and Lazarus goes like this. There was a rich man who had all his life figured out. It was perfect. It was wonderful. There was a beggar at the gates named Lazarus. Lazarus never had anything. He was just there. They die. They go to Abraham's bosom. Lazarus does. The rich man goes down to a place of torment and anguish. An angel comes and visits the rich man while he's there. And he says to the angel, listen, if you'll go back and warn my family, if you'll go back and tell my brothers what's waiting for them, if they don't believe, they'll accept it. They'll listen. They'll buy in. They'll live a life of faith. If you just send someone back, they'll believe. And the angel says, listen, they've had the prophets. They've had the law. They haven't. Even if someone returns from the dead, they won't believe. The other story that's on your screen, on the screens there, is Matthew chapter 9, verse 21. And I want to start with Matthew 9, 21, because I'm just going to spend a moment there. It's the same story of the woman who had the issue of blood and wanted to be cleansed. And I think she's an if-only person too, though. Because when you read back over the story, what she actually says is, if I only touch his cloak, I'll be healed. See, I think if only people kind of look like this sometimes. I don't want to bother God with little stuff. He's God. He's kind of busy keeping the cosmos together, helping LSU beat A&M last night. God's busy doing big stuff, you know, like he's got other things that he's focused on. This is just little stuff. But really, what that says about our heart is this: God, I don't know that I trust you. I've been hurt before, and I really don't want to get hurt again. See, this woman had been going through this issue for 12 years. She'd suffered through it. She'd been to healer after healer after healer. She'd given all her money, all her time, everything she had, with the same results. And I think a lot of us become if-only people, because we trust God with this much, but we don't really want to go past that. Because to go past that requires something of us that's been hurt. We don't have that even if faith. And so we know, hey God, if I ask you to do this and you don't do it, what happens to our relationship? God, things are going really good right now, and I'm loving you, and you're loving me, and we're in this awesome relationship together, God, and things are great. And if I dare to believe this, if I dare to ask what if, God, if I dare to step out just a little bit, and it doesn't work, what does that mean? And so we become if-only people because we want to get just close enough to where there's no risk involved, right? Oh, yeah, the missionary, I love, missions is a big part of my wife and I's life, and I love what she said. She said, you can give, you can pray, or you can go. It's interesting because a lot of us are great with praying and giving, right? But that going, it gets a little touchy, like, there's some risk involved in that. I remember the first international mission trip I led. I had my wife, we just left Nora. She was like 6 months old. We left her at home with Kelsey's mom and dad. I had my wife in the car with 15 people in front of us. My mom and dad in the car with 15 people in front of us. And it was me and one other guy in the back with all of our luggage going down the streets of Port-au-Prince, Haiti, where dudes are walking around with 12-gauge shotguns. And I'm like, whoa. This isn't America anymore. We have 12-gauge shotguns in Alabama, but like it's different in this environment. And I remember sitting there at that moment and thinking, like, this is very risky. I did not know the risk before I got here. I probably wouldn't have brought my wife. I would have left her at home where she was safe and didn't have all this going on. See, when you start to ask what if, and you start to develop that even if faith, you get caught up, and you become an if-only person when you start to say, that cost just a little bit too much. That's a little bit too risky for me. That going, that's good for other folks, but that's not good for me. Oh, yeah, living a life of faith, that's good for other, John, that's why you're here. We're calling you to be a pastor. You be the person who lives a life of faith. I want to be the person who comes and sits in the church pew. Okay. What that tells me is that you're an if-only person. Another story, just to kind of capture this, Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 30. And again, I'm going to just paraphrase it for time's sake, but it's the story of the rich young ruler. If you've been in church at all, you know that story. You've heard that story. A rich man comes to Jesus and he asks Jesus, what must he do to inherit eternal life? Jesus says, keep all the commandments. He says, done it. Good. Check that box off. Jesus says, sell everything you have and come and follow me. It says this about him. He went away sad and greatly distressed because he had great wealth. See, for this man, the risk was too much. Listen, God, I would gladly follow you if only you didn't ask me to give up that. Jesus, I would be so happy to go share my faith with somebody or to live a life of faith or to be involved in church or to sing in the choir or to do this or to do that. God, I would gladly give tithes and offerings. God, I would do any of that that you wanted me to do if only you didn't ask me to do this. You ever been there before? Anybody ever bargained with God? God, if you get me out of this situation, I'll do whatever you want me to do. If only it's not this. If only it stops here. I think there are people this morning who are in this room who ask the question, what if? I think there are people in this room this morning who are probably even if people. And honestly, when your faith gets tested, when things become unexpected and challenges come and different things like that, your faith is strong and you say, God, even if, I will still love you. I will still serve you. I will still trust you. I think there are probably even some if only people in this room this morning that they either are right to trust God up certain, but not past that, because past that it gets dangerous. Past that it gets risky. Past that it requires me to risk too much. It requires too much of what I'm just not really willing to give. I call these people if only people because hindsight is 20/20, right? We all look back on life and if only I knew then what I know now, how differently I would have done things. I had a friend that I grew up in, and we sat in the balcony one time in our church. Our pastor called us down, and like he never let us go back up there again. And that was my buddy Garrett. And Garrett and I, we went through all of high school together, and we went through, he went to the Coast Guard, and I went off to school, and so we kind of separated, but this cool invention called Facebook kind of kept us in touch with each other, and he from time to time would message me, and I'd message him back, and one day I got a message from Garrett, and he said, hey, listen, will you be praying for me? He said, I've always known your family was somebody that I could count on to pray for me. He said, I really could use some prayers right now. So I messaged Garrett back. I said, yeah, man, what's going on? You know, and I kind of tried to reach out to him, but Kelsey and I were just getting ready to get married. Actually, I think we just got married in May. We got married. And so I was, you know, trying to be a good husband and like, you know, do dishes and clean the house and keep up with everything. We were actually getting ready to move from where we were in Chattanooga, Tennessee, over to Alabama. So we had a whole lot of life change going on. And so I reached out to Garrett. I think I sent him a message at like 1 o'clock in the morning and was just like, hey man, we're glad to pray for you, brother. Just, you know, let me know what you need. And kind of left it at that because honestly, I kind of hoped Garrett wouldn't inconvenience me with a whole big long story. I would hope he would just give me the bullet points of how I can pray for him and I could kind of move on with life. A year went by and I got a phone call one morning from a friend in high school. I said, hey, have you heard? I said, I moved away from Florida when I was out of high school. I don't hear much anymore. I said, Garrett killed himself last night. He'd been suffering with depression for about a year. It finally got the best of him. And I remember sitting on the couch. Hearing that, and I thought, man, if only I would have taken the time. I think Garrett was saved. Again, we sat in the balcony at church together. We sang in children's, well, not youth choir, and he was the lead singer in our Christian band for a while and stuff. And I think Garrett was saved. I really hope so. But I'll never forget sitting there hearing that and saying it, if only I would have checked with him. Man, did I live a faithful life in front of Garrett to point Garrett to Christ? Did I do enough with my life that, like, if the only person that ever showed Garrett Jesus was me, did I do enough? And I find myself a lot. That's been 7 years ago. Every October rolls around. And I find myself wondering if I did enough. If only I would have done more. If only I would have had that conversation with him. The good news for you today is, if you're an if only person, it's not too late. You're still here. There's still a chance for you to do something. I've got to wrap up for time's sake and everything else like that, but I do have just three questions I need to ask you kind of in closing. I wonder if there's some of us here today that really we need to stop worrying about the unexpected things that come in life. We have storms. I'm sure everyone in this room has a storm they could share. I think some of us in this room have unexpected parts of that storm that have popped up. And all of a sudden you're kind of sitting there and you're like, God, this is not what I signed up for. This is not what's supposed to happen. I wonder if there's some of us this morning that need to ask, God, this isn't what I expected. But what if in the middle of this? What if you could do something amazing in the middle of this? And all you need from me is simply to put my trust, my faith in you, to get out of the boat, to step into the water, and to just say, God, you've got this. What could happen? This morning, I wonder if some of us don't need to develop our even if faith. Because on the surface, we look good. We've got faith. I believe in Jesus. As long as he does what I want, when he want, when I want, how I want him to. But God, when you start to deviate and all of a sudden my plan and your plan that was matched up so perfectly, your plan starts to go this way and I want to go this way. I wonder if some of us this morning don't need to develop some even if faith. Say, God, listen, even if things don't go the way I want them to, I still trust you. You're still good. I still have faith in you. I also wonder if there aren't someone here this morning who they've got some if-only issues. They either have some if-only issues of letting go of that thing because this one thing is holding me back. I'm good to trust God. I'm good with this. Listen, I'm new to this game. Some of you all have been in this a lot longer than I have, but kids, man, that's tough. Whew. And I, listen, when Kelsey, Eugene was giving me a hard time a little earlier about, you know, back in October, and here it is almost December, and we're still not here, and all these different things. If Kelsey and I would have been Kelsey and I, we'd have been here about 6 months ago, probably. You guys wouldn't have even invited us. We'd have just come. But kids, man, that changes everything. And I'm good with, listen, you can do anything you want to me. God, you can, I'll gladly do whatever you want me to do. But God, kids, my job's to take care of them. I'm supposed to protect them. God, I'm supposed to put them in the best possible place ever. And God, listen, church, I'm going to be honest with y'all real quick. God, you want me to move to Mooringsport, Louisiana? I thought it was morning sport. I was thinking you guys were a town of like rec centers and stuff. God, you want me to move there? My kids don't know anybody there. God, these are the doors you're opening. Are you sure? And there, if I'm going to talk to y'all, I'm going to talk to y'all from my heart. There's a part of me, man, that had if only faith. Because I said, God, as long as you call me to a place that I'm happy to go to. My family's in Florida. Kelsey's family's in Tennessee. Those two states are wide open, God. Any place you want to call me there, fantastic. God says, no, Louisiana, the other direction. Oh, okay, but God, my family, and the reason I'm coming to you this morning is because this is what I worked through in the process of coming here. I had if only faith. Some of you have, if only, issues in the fact that you've got some regrets. There's some times where you haven't lived the life that you've been called to live because it was too risky, or because somewhere in the back of your mind, it wasn't worth it. My challenge for you this morning is to realize that there are people around you who are dying and going to hell. Because they're looking to you to live a life of faith. And you decided that it was too inconvenient, or it wasn't worth your time at that moment. So if you've got some if only issues today, if you need to just spend some time with God, the way I like to view an invitation is this. Hopefully God said something to you today. And so if God said something to you, then as Max comes and he's going to sing a song of invitation, I want you to do business with God. You can do business with God right there at your seat. You can say, hey, God, listen, I've got some stuff I got to work on in my life. He knows. He's aware. Pretty smart guy. If you need to come to the altar, and I don't know if you guys do this or not, but we're going to do it this morning because, it's kind of too late. But if you need to come to the altar and you just need to talk to God and say, God, there's this one thing I can't let go of this. This is too risky. This is too much, God. This is pushing me past where I'm comfortable. But God, I want to develop what if faith. I want to develop my even if faith. So God, I'm coming to you this morning and I'm asking you to work in me to develop faith that glorifies you. Whatever you need to do, I want you to do business with God this morning. Let's pray. God, Father, thank you for today. Lord, we're so grateful for the chance to be here, to come, to spend time with you, with your word. But God, I also know that there are some of us this morning that, God, we haven't quite gotten this thing figured out yet. God, that all of us haven't gotten this thing figured out yet. But Lord, some of us need to just start asking questions like, what if? Lord, we've seen the storm, we've seen the difficulties, but we've never looked for the divine appointment beyond that. We've never looked to see what you could be doing if only we stepped out of the boat in faith. Father, for those of us that need to just develop our even if faith this morning, that God, we're okay to trust you up until a moment, but Lord, we need to be okay to say, God, whatever you do, I'll still love you. I'll still trust you. Father, for those of us who are filled with regret or with stipulations of our faith in you this morning, I pray that you would use this time just to break down those walls. Help us to realize the importance of our life of faith that others need to see in us. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.